scripture reading, turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans 14, verse 1, and we read, starting at verse 1 through chapter 15, verse 4. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat, destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. But he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but, as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So far we read from the Holy Scriptures this morning. And what we've read and all the rest of Scripture are the basis for the teaching of our Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 48. There we read, which is the second petition? Thy kingdom come, that is, rule us so by thy word and spirit that we may submit ourselves more and more to thee. Preserve and increase thy church. Destroy the works of the devil and all violence which would exalt itself against thee, and also all wicked counsels devised against thy holy word, till the full perfection of thy kingdom take place, wherein thou shalt be all in all. Dearly beloved people of God, we come to the second petition, which is about the kingdom of God. The question is, what do we mean when we pray, thy kingdom come? In this Lord's Day, we have an explanation of what we mean when we say that. An explanation of what the kingdom is. What is referred to in the Scriptures as the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of heaven? And when we say, thy kingdom come, and at the end of the prayer we say, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. What are we requesting? We're familiar with the fact that when our Lord was on earth, and before his crucifixion, we recognize that there was a common wrong view of what the kingdom. The Bible spoke about the kingdom. The Old Testament spoke about the kingdom. And the disciples had some wrong ideas about the kingdom. We recognize that the unbelieving Jews, scribes and Pharisees, they opposed when the king came. They opposed him. They rejected him as the king. We recognize that still today it is the case that many reject Christ as king. And many talk about the kingdom. And they talk about the kingdom of God, and they talk about what their hope is for the future. Many have a wrong idea of what the kingdom is. We're also familiar with the fact that Our young people may be taught wrong ideas about what the kingdom is. And it is very important that we look to Scripture and that we take note of references in our confessions to the kingdom. Now, a young person, for example, it could be that a young person is hearing some ideas about the kingdom, a kingdom view, and sensing there's something wrong with this view, and wondering, now, what is wrong with it, and how do you answer? How do you answer? One good thing to do is to consider, do our creeds speak on the kingdom? And indeed, they do. What do they say about the kingdom? What is our official position as set forth in the creeds? What is our official position on the kingdom? And what we mean when we say, thy kingdom come. And we look to Scripture. Passages such as the one we read in Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. We consider what the Scriptures teach here and elsewhere on the kingdom. And then we look at it from the viewpoint of the fact that we pray this and that God grants our request. It's important not only that we be able to speak against wrong ideas of the kingdom, and we understand that in God's providence, God makes use of that there are those that will teach wrongly about the kingdom, and we are led by God to consider, well, what do the Scriptures say about the kingdom? And then we're to think about what the Bible says about the spiritual and the heavenly nature of the kingdom, and then think about the fact that, what am I saying? When I pray this, rule us. Rule us by thy word and spirit that we may submit ourselves more and more to thee. That's what I'm saying. Preserve and increase thy church. That's what I'm saying. That's what we're saying. Destroy the works of the devil. That's what I'm saying. That's what you're saying. That's what we're saying. And we think of the full perfection of God's kingdom, wherein God shall be all in all. We consider this petition under the theme, the request that God's kingdom come. We consider, first of all, the kingdom, secondly, the petition, and thirdly, the granting, the request that God's kingdom come. When we speak of the kingdom, we're thinking of God's reign, reign of grace by Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks of the kingdom of God. It speaks of the kingdom of Christ. And we're to see that the kingdom of God, when we speak of the kingdom of God, we are speaking of the kingdom of Christ. You know, we talked about how Christ is at the right hand of God. God governs by Jesus Christ over all things. He's over all things, but God by Christ graciously rules in his people. So on the other one hand, God is over all. He's over all. He is the sovereign ruler. But when we speak of the kingdom, we think of the gracious rule of God in his people, ruling by Jesus Christ within them. Notice that the phrase, rule us, so by thy word and spirit that we may submit. Now God is king over all. But when we talk here, we're looking at God graciously. The gracious rule of God, the reign of grace in God's people, that he rules them by his word and spirit that they submit. We see that, where that is happening, there's the kingdom. Many would just point to the fact that God is over all. That's true. You think of God's references to the ruling of the nations with a rod of iron. And the Bible speaks of the ungodly who go deeper and deeper into sin, to their own destruction. God preserves all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. When we speak of the kingdom here, we're speaking about those in whom God graciously rules that they submit to the king. That's what we're referring to here. Submitting to the king. Inwardly, loving the king. Submitting to the king. Desiring to submit more and more. When we think of this, when we think of the fact that it says here in Romans 14, verse 17, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now there you see, there's a good example of how we see that the kingdom is spiritual. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. You think of the saints who are righteous in Christ, justified by faith, have peace with God, joy in the Holy Ghost. He that in these things serveth Christ. Those who are righteous in Christ, who are thankful, who willingly submit and desire to submit more. They're thankful for their salvation. You talk about those people. You're talking about the members of the church, the citizens of the kingdom of heaven. No one recognizes that you're talking about spiritual things. Many people have their mind on other things besides spiritual things. There are those that will talk about carnal Israel, the people that refer to themselves as Israel on this earth. And they'll refer to them as, there you see, one of God's people. The church is a people of one of God's people, and then Israel is another people of God. And then that God has promised them some kingdom. And many speak of there's going to be this kingdom, this future kingdom of 1,000 years. God has promised to them. Well, we see, when you look at carnal Israel, you see the majority by far are unbelievers. They're not righteous in Christ. have peace with God, joy in the Holy Spirit. They're not referred to as those that in these things serveth Christ. Many of them reject Christ. There's a remnant, of course. There's a remnant saved by grace. We recognize it's the church that is being referred to. And that does not mean the Romish church with its massive institute. Many people will refer to that Romish church as that's the church. But we recognize that the scripture speaks of the true church and the false church. It's not referring to a church that preaches that which is false, which is a lie, which rejects. You know, as we talk about the Mass, they deny the one sacrifice of Christ and that the Mass is an accursed idolatry. Nor when we think of the kingdom are we to look at the world and think, now, if we can bring about a peaceful, prosperous society where we have an environment where we have clean air, clean water, where people have health care, talk about the justice system and so on, and to try to do that we work together and that we're happy and we commune together and are peaceful and prosperous together, and that we're all to work together to labor toward that, and that that's what we're requesting here. Well, we recognize, on the one hand, you know, with each of the different issues, well, we have an interest in clean air and clean water. And there's certain things that if we were casting a vote, we could vote for. But then we bring out that when you're talking about the world, if you have a group of unbelievers and the majority are going to be unbelievers, that's not, they don't improve. That's not what we're referring to when we say, thy kingdom come. We're asking, rule us that we may submit. And the majority of the people of the world do not submit. They have better air, cleaner air, cleaner water, or better health care. They're not submitting. It's not the case that the people of the world are more and more submitting. That's not what we see in the world. That's not what we're going to see in the world. The world's going to be getting worse. We see that, the abounding lawlessness, the opposite of this. When you look at the world. Nor does God promise that someday the Christians will rule over the nations. In this life, we speak about how after this life, we speak of reigning. In this life, we think of the fact that we are victorious. We think of the fact that we've been liberated from sin. We're not enslaved to sin and Satan. We're righteous in Christ. We have peace with God. We have joy. We delight to serve Christ. We talk about the kingdom. Then one says, well, the way you're talking about the kingdom, you're talking about the kingdom that the ones that are in the citizens of this kingdom that you're talking about, those would be the ones that are in the church. And our confessions speak that way. And it's important to see that. As does Scripture. Our confessions faithfully expound the Scriptures with regard to the kingdom. So with regard to that, you know, if a young person was asked about the kingdom, what do you think about the kingdom? Maybe you have to write about the kingdom. Well, three places, to cite three places in our confessions, one would be, what does the Bible say? What does our creed say when we pray, thy kingdom come? What does it mean? And there you clearly see it's talking about the church. Rule us by thy word and spirit that we submit ourselves. Now that's only happening in the body of Christ. Preserve and increase thy church. The church is mentioned specifically. We're asking that God preserve and increase the church, and the works of the devil destroy the works of the devil. That's one place. A second place would be when it talks about the keys of the kingdom. And the church has been given the keys of the kingdom. The kingdom is open to believers and shut against unbelievers. And our young people, you learn about the keys of the kingdom, the preaching of the gospel and Christian discipline. And there, when we think of that, that points to the idea that the church is the kingdom. The institutional form, the instituted church is a visible form of the church of the kingdom. And you can see that too when you think of the church. Where else, in contrast with the world, where do you see that what God's word says, that's what we're to follow? You don't see that in the world. You see that in the church. That what God's word says, that's what we're to follow. And if there's ever an error, and somebody points out from the scriptures, look, that's not true. Look at this scripture say this, and look at what our confessions say. Then we're to be corrected and say, oh, yeah, if the scriptures say that, and our confessions are not infallible, but they're an accurate summary of the scriptures. Our desire is to do what God says. In all aspects, what are we to preach? Well, we look to the scriptures. We consider as it's summarized in our confessions. It tells us what we're to preach, what we're not to preach. How are we to discipline? Well, we look to the scriptures in every aspect. About our worship, how we make decisions about worship. Well, we have to look to the word to tell us about the principles with regard to worship, church government, doctrines. In our practical life, what do we do in our practical life from day to day? Well, we follow the principles of Scripture. We're out in the world, it's very different from that. And we see how things are said to be right and proper that the Scriptures condemn. That God speaks against, and yet the world says it's fine. Remarriage, when one's spouse lives. People getting divorced and remarried out in the world, they'll say that's fine. They have certain rules. When they may grant that, they ask. But we look to the scriptures and say the marriage bond is for life. We're constantly hearing about and seeing promoted today the idea that two people, male and male, female with female, living together and wanting to be even married, that that's okay, and that the people are wrong if they don't accept that. That's what the world will say, but we look at the scriptures and it says it's wrong, and that we have to speak against it, and we are to call people to repentance. In the church, where you see that the word of God is what is taught. The people that have the word of God in their heart, the citizens of the kingdom, are the ones who have the king's law in their heart. They desire to do it. So again, two places, one more. We're going to go to two places with regard to the kingdom. One, Lord's Day 48 on the second petition, Thy Kingdom Come. And then another one is Lord's Day 31. 31 on the keys of the kingdom, 48 on the second petition. Even if one has to look up the numbers, simply remembering the keys of the kingdom and praying, Thy Kingdom Come. And then one going to the Heidelberg Catechism and seeing how it explains it. Another is going to the Belgic Confession when it speaks about the church. So on the one hand, you may think, we don't have, you know, looking to the Belgic Confession, where's an article that specifically says the kingdom? Well, there's an article that says the church. When you're talking about the church, you are talking about the kingdom. So to see what we say about the kingdom, one looks to what we say about the church. And there in that article 27, it says, the second paragraph, the church hath been from the beginning of the world and will be to the end thereof, which is evident from this, that Christ is an eternal king, which without subjects he cannot be. Christ is an eternal king, which without subjects he cannot be. Who are the subjects? It's talking about the church. So that we see that our confessions rightly say, as this passage here does too, that the kingdom, we're talking about something spiritual. We're talking about the people in whom, we're talking about the gracious rule of God. And as far as the citizens of the kingdom, it is those who have the law of the king in their heart and who desire what we pray in this petition. And now we look to that, to the petition itself. Rule us. That we might submit ourselves more and more to thee. You know, we see in the first three petitions. In fact, you can go more than that, but just looking at the first three petitions, it is interesting to take note of how when we pray, we have our mind on wanting to glorify God. What our mind is in. We first ask that we want to order and direct our whole lives to His glory. We don't want His name to be blasphemed on our account. Number two, we ask, rule us that we may submit. More and more, we want more and more to do that. Thirdly, we say, grant that we may renounce our own will and without murmuring obey Thy will, which is only good. And that we may attend to and perform the duties of our station and calling as willingly and faithful as the angels do. That's what we're praying. Just looking at the first three. Rule us. Then you and I think about our sin. And now we're not just talking about others' wrong view of the kingdom and no understanding what a right view of the kingdom is, but we're applying, looking at ourselves and thinking of my own sin, your sin, sins that you struggle with, again and again. And you think of praying this prayer. You know, you think of selfishness, looking at yourself, looking at myself. When we look at ourselves, when we examine ourselves, we do see that. We have such a tendency to look at and find what others are doing wrong. And we'll be quick to point out if somebody else is doing something that they're just selfish, they're thinking about themselves. And we're to look at ourselves. You not only think of things like sins like of a sexual nature, although certainly that's an example. Somebody committing sins in thought, word, or deed, whether in they're engaged in fornicating acts, whether they're watching things they should not watch, whether they're thinking things they should not be thinking about, knowing that it's wrong, that it's sinful. And we pray this prayer, rule us, meaning this, rule us by thy word and spirit, that I may submit more and more to God. That's what we're praying. That's what we really desire. We're saying sinful anger. We're being patient with one another, not being slow to anger. Saying things we shouldn't say. Maybe with our own children. Maybe other brothers and sisters in Christ. Maybe mistreating those outside. And we're praying this prayer. Rule us by thy word and spirit that we may submit. We really want that. We really mean that. The kingdom, we understand the kingdom is within. We know our Lord taught that. That's another verse when we talk about the kingdom and about the spiritual nature of the kingdom. We talked about three places in our confessions. As far as scripture, Romans 14:17 is one. It says the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. But then we also think of the verse, Luke 17:21, behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And we're familiar with that. Kingdom should not, he says, the kingdom cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here and lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And we think of God graciously working in us, that we submit more and more to him. That's what we're requesting. That's what we really, honestly desire. And we pray not only for ourselves as an individual, but we pray for ourselves, we pray for the church as a body. And we see that repeatedly in the Lord's Prayer. I mean, it starts out with our Father. And as we go through the Lord's Prayer, we keep seeing it saying, grant us, rule us, grant that we, that we're to pray that, meaning that with regard to all the people of God, We're not to be bearing a grudge against a brother or sister. We understand that. We know that. We're really to mean that. Rule us. Preserve and increase thy church. That's what our thought is on. Many that will put the focus out on the world and what's happening out in the world speak relatively little about what's going on in the church. And the Church Institute, the work of the Church Institute. Think of the great importance of the work of the Church Institute, the preaching of the gospel of grace. That by the preaching of the word, God, the Spirit works faith and confirms it by the sacraments. The great importance of the work that Christ gives us to do. Preserve the church. Increase the church. And when you think of the church increasing, we think of the fact that the church is to grow, spiritually to grow. We're to encourage that. We're to be encouraging that in our homes, that we talk about the spiritual things together, and that we talk about these things in our schools. We talk about them as adults and as adults with children, and children talking about the young people talking about these things together, praying together. We desire together that we together may grow. We search the scriptures together. We gather for worship together. We also desire the growth in the sense of the children of the church. You know, you think of a church that grows, and you think of the fact from the viewpoint of over time as far as numbers, and you think of one key thing is you think of all the children that God gives to the church. And you think of that's what we're praying regarding the children of the church. That we also have a desire. We are thankful for God, the gift of covenant children. And as God has been giving us quite a few, we're very thankful for that. We think of our view of the children is very different than out in the world. We're thankful for the covenant children, the children of the church, whether we're single, we may be single, or we may be married and we don't have blood descendants, but our mind is on the church, the children of the church, whether here or in our other churches or, you know, in the different nations of the world, preserve and increase the church. And indeed, we do think about the work of missions. When we pray this, preserve and increase the church, we do think, and our mind is on the work of missions, where some people have this, their mind is on the world and what trying to make changes in human society. Our mind is on bringing the gospel to the nations and hearing of those in different nations that say, we would like to have someone preach that word here. And we do hear that. You hear someplace in a faraway place. You know, our missionaries go to a number of different places, and there are times when they're in a place and they hear and they express appreciation for the word, and they'd like to hear that more often. We see the need for men, whether it be in the Philippines or whether it be in other countries. And we look to God to open up the door in the work of missions. in our own country and other lands, preserve and increase the church. Destroy the works of the devil. You think of those that, you think of the opposition. Our mind is on the opposition. The violence that exalts itself against God and wicked counsels devised against God's holy word. Destroy the works of the devil and all violence which would exalt itself against thee, and also all wicked counsels devised against thy holy word. We're in a battle, and we ask God to preserve us and to destroy the works of the devil. And then lastly, our mind is on the full perfection. Till the full perfection of thy kingdom take place. We have our mind on that. When we say, thy kingdom come, we also think of what God has promised and the full perfection of his kingdom taking place, wherein he will be all in all. We think of things united in Jesus Christ, and that we willingly serve him, freed from sin, delighting to glorify our God. Such is our petition. That is what we mean when we pray this petition. And God grants that. You know, sometimes with regard to those that have been referred to as post-millennialists, who have talked about the church, the believers someday ruling over the nations, sometimes they've presented the issue this way, and they say, well, really, the issue between you and us is whether or not the church is going to be victorious or not. And you guys are pessimists, you guys don't think the church is going to be victorious, and we think the church is going to be victorious. We could respond to that and say it has to do with, rather, what do you view to be victory? Christ has accomplished the victory. We have been liberated. We're free. Think of it, that we were in bondage. Christ has set us free. We're righteous. We're righteous in Christ. We have peace with God. We have joy in the Holy Spirit. Scriptures speak of believers as more than conquerors. We are victorious in Jesus Christ. And God goes forth to the nations. The gospel goes forth to the nations, and God gathers his people. The church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church shall be preserved. God will gather his people. God will save all those he intends to save. All those he intends to save. None will perish. Christ has accomplished the victory. And God is accomplishing his purpose. And it will be the case that there will be the full perfection of his kingdom. That day will come. God grants this petition. And now you think again, you know, talking about somebody in our own struggles with sin, praying this. We look at it not only from the viewpoint that we pray it, desiring it, that we see our own sin, and that it grieves us, and that we're truly sorry for our sin, but we also look at it
from the viewpoint that God grants that, so that we're not just making known our desire and then doubting whether or not God is going to grant that request. In our struggles with sin, when we pray this, believing, asking God to grant this for Christ's sake, we know He grants this. We're to pray this with confidence, that I may submit more and more. That I pray that, believing, expressing what I really desire, confident that God will hear, God will grant that for Christ's sake. Christ died to pay for my sins, for your sins. Purchase for us blessings. We're requesting. We want to submit more. We desire to glorify our God, as we said in the first petition. And we're to pray that with confidence that God will grant that. And we're to pray that with confidence that God will preserve His people. We believe the preservation of the saints. God will preserve His people. Those who are in Christ will never fall out. When we talk about the preservation of the saints, I found sometimes when that question is asked, what's meant by the preservation of the saints? Sometimes people will think simply of the church, that God preserves His church, as is expressed here. It's good also to apply that to the viewpoint of the individual believer and recognize that somebody who is God has regenerated has everlasting life. They will never perish. You and I are also to see, not only looking at the body, that the body will be preserved, but to say about myself, yourself personally, you will live forever with God. God will preserve you. You know that He will preserve you. Our salvation isn't based on something that we do. Not only our being brought in, but also our remaining in is not based on something that we do. God preserves His people. No one can snatch us from His hand. Nothing can separate us from the love of God and Christ Jesus our Lord. God grants this petition for us and our children, and you children here are included. It's not just the adults. The children are heirs of the kingdom. They're included in the covenant and the church. We've been talking about the church, the children, how important it is. When we talk about the church as the kingdom, well, how important it is to bring out that the children, even the young children, are included. That we're talking about you children, included in the citizens of the kingdom. You're citizens of the kingdom. You're members of the church. That when we talk about being righteous in Christ, having peace with God, joy in the Holy Spirit, that's not only adults, that's the children. And we as adults and children pray this. Preserve and increase the church. Rule us by thy word and spirit, that we may submit more and more to thee. May we pray this with confidence, thanking God for our deliverance and living to His honor. Amen.
Let us pray. Our Lord, our God, and our Father, we are thankful, O Lord, for thy word of truth, for the gospel of grace. And, O Lord, we do pray, rule us as adults and as children. Rule us by thy word and spirit, that we may submit more and more unto thee. Preserve thy church. Increase thy church. Destroy the works of the devil. And we look forward to the return of our King. Grant us our request, O Lord. We pray with confidence that thou wilt hear us and grant our request for Christ's sake. In his name we pray. Amen.